God bless you. Good morning. Good morning. Gosh, what a blessing to be back here again. It is a really privilege for me to come back to Santa Ponsa Community Church. You people have left an impression upon my heart 2 years ago with my first visit here, but I'm so blessed to bring Pam with me. If you hadn't met her already, my better half. Praise the Lord. Gosh. The Lord affirmed something that I'm not to travel alone anymore, and that Pamela is to accompany me to places that I go. There's all many reasons for that, many reasons that are obvious and evident, but also the very fact is of us building this second half of our ministry together and time together that we're going to do together more than we've done before. So it's a blessing to always have her with me. With that, praise God. Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful theme, Lord. And as we just talk and encourage that we are shaped by you, Father, I pray that you would just let your Holy Spirit, as Alex has already prayed, as Pastor Roth has prayed, Lord, that we would just hear from you, that we would allow you to impress our hearts with your truth and understand that we are your workmanship. Thank you, Lord. Speak by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, our foundation verse for the conference. I want to just use this as a foundational verse, and we're going to look at something in the Psalms here, I think that's, and I hope that will be edifying to you today. Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 10. You know, when you were born, and do you remember? I hope you do. I mean, you probably don't. When you were born, there were two sets of hands that welcomed you, that brought you into this world. The first set was either a physician or nurse or midwife or a relative or something, that, or someone who was there to, in a sense, receive you. But the second pair of hands were much bigger hands, and we know they were the hands of God. They were greater. And they were hands that were not only welcoming you into this world, but also, too, receiving you into this world also. There was a reception for you in your entry into a world that you were designed to be in. I believe you and I often don't ponder enough about the fact of our own, and we're going to look at it here in Ephesians 10, that God foreknew, that God knew that you and I were coming. And there, in his reception, his receiving us, and his taking us in, is everything of a validation of your life and how you should see your life in a validation of it. I believe you and I should see our lives as something that is valid. I believe it is important for God. Jesus did it with Peter. Jesus looked at Peter and said, you know what? You're Peter. You're Peter. And it was saying his name, the name Peter, validated his existence, that gave Peter an understanding that the God of the universe knew that he was here and he was ordained to be here. There are people in America, I'm sure, here too. We're dealing with a generation now that many of them don't even know who their natural fathers were. We're dealing with broken relationships, blended families. We're dealing with things now that we didn't deal with 30 years ago. And we're dealing with people who come from birth. They come right from birth insecure. Insecure. And it's no wonder that we have a world that's out there reaching and finding. But we find it in Christ. We find it in his validation. You're Thomas. It's important for me to hear him say that. Jesus himself heard from the Heavenly Father right when he was baptized. He comes out of the water. Mark, the Gospel of Mark records it in first person that the Father said to the Son, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm sure there's people in this room who've never had that kind of validation. And it's not because God didn't want to give it to you. It's because a lot of times you and I kind of blow past it. And we try to receive or attain or achieve some kind of validation that's in other ways, when God just wants to tell you, you're my son, you're my daughter. We also are, Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship. Verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which the Father prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. We are shaped by God. I just want to massage this in your soul this morning, that you and I are his workmanship. There's a work that's being fashioned, a work that's being done. And it's not some work that you and I, Bill talked about yesterday, that we get it done, that we achieve it. It's a work that's done solely by the grace of God. It's a work, a shaping of God. It's an ongoing work too. You and I wouldn't deny that. My gosh, we're all work under construction, aren't we? God ain't finished with us yet. Heaven will finish us. That's when we'll be finished, when we have these new bodies and we'll be like Christ. We'll be like Jesus. There's things that won't ever come to a point of completeness here. Many things won't. We'll get them in heaven. I encourage my congregation, and I want them to trust the Lord like God wants me to trust him. I encourage my congregation. There are some things that are not going to get fixed until you get in heaven. So just trust God here. There's some hurts that are not going to completely heal. There are some situations that are not going to completely resolve. There are situations that you are not going to attain, you're not going to achieve until you experience it in heaven. And my gosh, it'll be worth the wait. It'll be worth the wait when you and I get there and Jesus completes us. In our salvation, the Bible says in Colossians 2:10, we are complete in him. And your completeness and my completeness is solely in Christ now. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen for that? I'll take it. Praise the Lord. That I am complete in him. And you are too. By the washed blood of Jesus Christ. But when we talk about the practicals, when we talk about mental issues, when we talk about emotional rips or whatever it may be, you and I are work under process. We are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. That's the completeness. That's the saving work. That's the grace of God. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, benefit, the good benefits, God's work. The point is that you and I were born to glorify God. The Bible says that, by the way. That you and I exist. We were made to point to God. Simply point to God, glorify God. Your life and mine, no matter where you are, what you do, no matter where you live, no matter where you came from, no matter what has happened in your life that has been less than pleasurable or holy, you and I have an opportunity in submission to Jesus to glorify him, to point to him. And that's all a part of this workmanship, all a part of this thing that God is working through us. We're encouraged to know at the end of verse 10 that God has prepared before this stuff that we should walk in them. They prepare beforehand. The indication is clear. The indication is God didn't just at the last minute, let me do something with you. You know, no, God had something already designed for you, even before you were born. And it says here that it would be good, it would be right that we should walk in them, that we should walk in these works, that these works should be applied in our lives, indicating this fact that God does have a good work for you. God has a work that you will glorify him. There's a significance that we all look for in life, and every person looks for it. We all want our life to count. Just did a funeral before I left here. And that's one place that most people come to an understanding of their life, and has it been a life that is significant? You know, it is. You have a time for people to get up and share, and you see people validate this person who's in this box now. You validate that body and what it was and what it did or what it didn't do by people who stand up and testify of it. All of us want a life that we finish well. I think that is important. You want your life to speak significance. And that's not bad at all. God has a good work for you. He's prepared it beforehand. You ever been to a funeral and you thought you were in the wrong one? Because you knew this guy wasn't that. That's a really hard thing to be at. I was at a funeral one time, and I was asked to do it. The guy wasn't part of the church. Sadly, he wasn't even saved. He was just a mean guy, motorcycle kind of guy. Nothing wrong with motorcycles, but he was just a mean motorcycle guy. And you would have thought we were burying Mother Teresa. And it's a bummer, man. Because when people die, we get goofy and we start testifying things that they're not as true. People know who we were, no matter what's put on our headstone, no matter what's put in the program. You are what you're going to be. Today, you and I have a chance right now because we're alive right now at this particular time. You and I have a chance to glorify God, that we should walk in these works. And I want you to be open to and settled with and secure in that you're walking in the life that God has given you. And I'm saying it to you, lay people. I'm not just saying it to the preachers here. You know, there is something that we're no different than you at all, and for sure no better than you. But there's a call that we live in, and it's 24/7. You have things that you deal with secularly, and you do secularly in the sense that you do a secular job and that kind of stuff. But you're still called to glorify the Lord. And I want to encourage you to walk in those works, walk in those works. Everything is coming against us. Ephesians 2:10. Everything comes against us. When I say everything, it's enough that the devil comes against it. The devil comes against it. The devil doesn't want you and I to fulfill Ephesians 2:10, to walk in those good works that have been prepared beforehand, to understand that we are shaped by God, created in Christ Jesus in the grace that he gives and renders. Gosh, the devil doesn't want you to know it. Let me tell you, the last 2 years, and I will mark the last 2 years with my time here in Majorca. When I came here 2 years ago, I just injured my leg. And I think I told you that. Here's a guy who's been blessed. Never been in the hospital, never had a surgery, nothing like that before. That was the worst physical injury I had in my 54 years of living at that time. I'm 56 now. And it was, I brought it here. I wasn't going to even think about canceling the trip or anything like that. It had been something more local or domestic in states, I might have considered it. But I was coming here. And I came here not knowing that it was going to begin the most crucial and hardest time of testing of my life. And it will begin with just a torn muscle due to a fall. It was a time that I would first of all, I was walking with a limp. I don't know how much a lot of people think about this, but I think about it. I think about what people think about me. When I was coming into the airport here, and even when Pastor Raphael took me back, I got in a wheelchair because it was just so long to walk to the different terminals. And I was looking at one of the people looking at me. And feeling like I'm less than capable to do what I'm supposed to do. I walk with a limp. Let me say it that way. I didn't know that limp would be a blessing later. To me, it was horrible having to do it. There was nothing. I began to question my call later on in those 2 years. I began to question my call more than ever. More than ever, I told you, all I wanted to be was a fireman. That's all I wanted to be. And I really wished I was one in these last 2 years. I used to hear people stand from pulpits and conferences, at pastors' conferences, and talk about, man, I was going to leave. I was going to split. I never said that. In the 30 years of ministry, I never said that. Now I'm saying it, and I really mean it. I really mean it. It was questioning my call because of the lack of fruitfulness. I believe I was pouring into something, but it wasn't yielding back. It wasn't growing back. And I was putting all my heart into this stuff. And it was at a time that I began to question, gosh, maybe I'm just wasting my time. Not with Christianity, not with Jesus. Maybe I just should just consider something else. Consider something else. Right when you do that, doors open like crazy. Some from God, some of them not. One door opened up was a daily radio show, morning Christian radio show. Showtime for Thomas. Four hours live with me, man. Let me tell you, boy, we're buzzing. We start at 6 a.m. I'm there prepping at 5. You know, the Thomas in the Morning Show. And I'm doing this thing, and I'm working at this. And, man, eventually I realize, and only because I'm slow, it took me longer, I realize, not like Joseph, I was not in the place of God. And I felt the Lord say to me, I don't want this for you. This is not what I called you to do. And it wasn't like God says, and you got 5 seconds to run. It wasn't like God was saying that. I'm going to kill you. It wasn't God saying that. It was God was saying, you need to fix this. And all of us find our lives, I hope all of us do, not just me, find sometimes our lives where we're off step, we're out of place, we're not in the place where God wants us to be. And I know that it's a place different than this. I'm not called to be some morning radio Christian host show, spinning records. No, I'm called to be a pastor. And everything that I know about that, I was called to be, but I've forsaken it. And that, boy, that'd be fine. There were 2 deaths, one in America, one in Hungary. My wife's nephew, Guy, in the prime of his life, early 40s, dies due to complications he had had with his kidneys. And it was just, for this woman, I could feel no doubt the hurt and the pain, the drawn away. I think about Bill. I think about Bill. It ain't been that long since his wife went to be with Jesus. And I don't know how that feels. But it's something that pulls from you. And you have to let that go. And it's not letting that as person is just that. It's realizing to move on with God. Gosh, I struggled with that. I struggled with God. I also struggled not far from here in Hungary. One of my closest friends, Pastor Bela Kovács, Calvary Chapel Tampa, loses his 11-year-old daughter to leukemia. And doggone it, Bela calls me on Skype with his son interpreting, and I knew it was coming. And I didn't want to go, but I knew it was coming. Thomas, can you come, please, and do the memorial service for us? I don't know anybody else to add. And the way I'm feeling now, that I'm limping, I don't feel like I'm called. I don't feel none of that. And now he calls me to go 4,000 miles and to represent Jesus in the hardest time of his life. It was a work of God's grace that got me there, that presented God in that situation, those 2 deaths. I felt less than in these 2 years that I was shaped by God. I didn't feel that. So I am so blessed that we're talking about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I pray it just ministers to all of our lives today. Turn to Psalms, would you? Psalms 139, 14, something that David says. Psalms 139, 14. In the midst of David's life and it being imperfect, as we know it was, we have the full view of David's life, Psalm 139, 14. You and I, who are everything of the truth of Ephesians 2:10, we're everything of that. We're blessed to know that we have those blessings in our lives. You and I still walk in these imperfect bodies. You and I still walk into things. We still feel stuff, like I was telling you what I felt about my life. And we still injure ourselves and hurt ourselves, and we move that way. You and I, in the midst of trying to do what God's called us to do, you and I end up so many times taking steps that are less than what we feel God wants. When I think of taking steps, I think of it happens to me more than I would like to confess, but I'm a photographer. I enjoy capturing images. And a lot of times when you're capturing an image, that's what you're focused on. At least that's what you need to be focused on. It's about getting, not only just focus, that's one thing. It's also getting the whole point of understanding the capturing of the layout of the picture and what it is and what you see and who's involved in it and or what's involved in it or things like that. You're not worried about where you're walking at all. It just happened to me a few weeks ago. And I'm taking a picture at a park and I'm walking, and as I walk, I step in doggy do. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, you can tell this was something more than grass. So I capture the picture. And then I look down. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know when you get doggy do on your feet? There's nothing ever God glorifying, Jesus exalting about it. No, you just look for a stick or something. Man, I gotta get this stuff off of there. You never can get enough off, you know, so you don't know you didn't get enough off till you get in the car. That's not good. The air conditioning doesn't help, it just blows it around. You get out of the car. I gotta get into a place. Now, if I'm not careful, I'm gonna track this into the home. Into my house. We all see hopefully our houses as sanctuaries. I don't want to track this into my place. And I tell you, I got to be careful I don't do that. I don't move that way. So it's about doing some really serious washing. Some real serious washing. I want you to be open to Jesus coming into your life as he comes in my life and God cleaning us up. Because, man, I will keep this stench. And I'm not talking about doggy do now. No, I'm talking about just a bad attitude. And that's what God has dealt with me on. That's me personally. I don't know if it affects you, and it may not. But my attitude stunk. And that's why these 2 years, primarily these 2 years of fire, crucible, furnace, has been in my life. Because my attitude stunk. And man, where you take it, whether it's in the car, in the house, or in the church, you take that attitude with you like doggy do. And you track it through your life. God wants to come and give grace and mercy to you and me and cleanse those things away. It's understanding something first, because David had to understand it. My gosh, I look at David's life and I say, disqualified. But God says, no, I'll give him mercy and grace. And my gosh, this is New Testament. I mean, Old Testament. This is the New Testament. In the Old Testament, David says these words. Look at verse 14. I will praise you. He says here, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, he says. And here's what he says at the end. And my soul knows very well. Look what David says. First of all, I will praise you. I will praise you. We sung a song, Alex led us in a song that talked about, I will praise you for what, all the works you've done, all the things that you've done. Praise with purpose. There's a praise that has to come, a purposeful praise. A lot of times we forget that, and that'll sap you, that'll tap you out. It'll happen. When you and I don't praise with a clear, conscious purpose of why I'm praising, my praise will become routine. And any good place that praises the Lord and lifts God up runs the risk of coming to a place of not praising with purpose. And the purpose, again, would be the purpose of understanding the goodness of the Lord and the benefits that we draw from him. We sung that. David says, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you with purpose. Why, David? Well, two things, actually. Number one, for I'm fearfully made. I'm fearfully made. I would hope that, because I know the Holy Spirit can only do it, show you and I the wonderful word there, fearfully. It means giving great attention. It means that when you were made, we're talking about you and everything that you are in your person. I'm not talking about just your physical body. That gets beat, worn, and worn out in the world. I'm talking about what Peter called it, the hidden person of your heart. There's a hidden person of your heart that is genuinely, authentically you. A lot of times you and I are not touched with that person because we're too busy trying to show that we're somebody else. And I don't want people to think I'm stupid. I don't want people to think I'm dumb. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. So I end up now acting stupid, dumb, and crazy around a lot of people. And there's people like looking at you, and kids are wondering why you're weird. Because kids are always just free in who they are. It's the reason they hung around Jesus, and also the reason Jesus notes kids in their purity. I want to be a person who's genuinely me. You know who you are in the hidden person. The person that doesn't have to prove to anybody anything. The person that doesn't have to put on something that, like Peter talked about, arranging yourself and adorning yourself, and nothing's wrong with that at all. As long as you're not trying to disguise yourself from who Peter said the hidden person of the heart is. That hidden person of your heart, who you are genuinely, is a person that was fearfully made. Oh, that God would say people would just be who I made them to be, who I fearfully made them to be. Not only fearfully, secondly, he says, you're wonderfully made. Wow. You're wonderfully made. In that personality that God has given you, in that person that he's given you, and how you touch the world with who you are, you and I are wonderfully, wonderfully made. You remember it's in John chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, the disciples come up with a question to Jesus, and they see a blind man. They say, Rabbi, whose sin? Was it this man, or was it his parents' sin is the reason why he's blind? And it's amazing. Jesus says, it's not either of them. Where do you get that kind of stuff from? Jesus is wondering from these guys. Where do you get that? Where do you come with that? He says, neither. He says, here's the reason that the work of God would be revealed in him. My gosh, I want you to realize something. With all your imperfections and all your inadequacies and all your past, there's still a whole lot more wonderful about you. And if you let yourself be in the Holy Spirit who God has called you and I to be, oh my gosh, we'll be so, so God glorifying, so pointing to God. I don't know if I shared with you before, but his name was Rick when I was here last time. Rick is an example to me. Rick is going to be with the Lord, but I had the pleasure of having time with Rick, but also even giving Rick to his wife, marrying him. And we're talking about over 30 years ago. I was an assistant pastor, and there was a guy, I'd never seen this kind of thing before. My life had been pretty much sheltered. But here's a guy, he comes up, and he rolls up, literally, because he's in an electronical wheelchair. He rolls up on the side of the church in the wheelchair, and he has this little device that can turn it left or right. And Rick couldn't talk either because of the accident, the car accident that's pretty much severed his spine and made him totally incapable of moving, except just his hand could move a little bit. Rick would always sit on the side of the sanctuary there, always there before worship starts. Rick couldn't talk, but he had this little thing on his head where he could move his neck, and he could point, and there would be phrases like, Rick, how you doing? And the phrase went, I am fine. That's cool. Rick, what's going on? Jesus. Yeah, Rick. It was cool. Man, Rick would have this thing programmed, and it was 30 years ago. This is high tech, man. And he hits that thing, and man, it was just everything of just the beauty. There was something that would happen that, at first sight, it was very, very uncomfortable to see it. But to see past just the outward, to see the heart, it was wonderful. And it was during a time of very high praise, high worship, extending our hands. Rick couldn't do that. And they even kind of gently tied Rick's hands. They are bounded them to the wheelchair, but that wasn't nothing for Rick. Start shaking that wheelchair. Man, them hands start shaking, that wheelchair starts rocking. And you would hear this sound. Praise Jesus. Again, at first it was uncomfortable. And then it became beautiful. Because Rick was wonderfully made. And in whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever condition, whatever life you find yourself at, there's still wonderful that can be tapped, that can point to God. David says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Then he says, marvelous are your works. You are a work of God. And David here in the Old Testament says, marvelous are your works. I'm marvelous. You have worked me. I'm marvelous. Look what he says in verse 13 of 139. He says that even with his inward parts, he says here in verse 13, for you formed, of 139, for you formed my inward parts. You covered, he says here, everything of, he says, we'll cover here everything that is in my, when I was in my mother's womb. Excuse me, you covered me while I was in my mother's womb. That inward parts, you form my inward parts. Again, that has a lot to do with how you feel about stuff. It has to do with what God's made you passionate about. And we can see David's life, he was passionate about some stuff, huh? Goliath is out there whipping and saying, come on now, fight, fight. David goes in and says, why ain't nobody fighting this guy? What's up? Why don't we? David had a passion about God's name being degraded. Letting this uncircumcised Philistine taunt us like this. What's going on? And it was everything of David's passion about stuff. And there are things that God has made you passionate about. Differ from the person sitting next to you. We all move together, but we're all not the same. And gosh, there's lessons in that for all of us. He also said, you covered me in my mother's womb. The word covered there, your Bible probably tells you, it means to be woven. It means, again, that careful attention of detail, that you made me, that you shaped me, that I'm everything of what you have made me to be. Gosh, what a blessing for that. Last thing we see here in verse 14 of Psalm 39 is David says something that I hope is you and me today. He says here, you know, I praise God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are his works. And David solidifies or seals this with these words. And that my soul knows very well. I would hope your soul knows that very well. If it doesn't, let me tell you this. You're a good person. I'm a good person. But if you really don't know that very well, we're going to be insecure. I am not going to embrace people with real security if my soul doesn't know it very well, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And if I don't know that marvelous are the works of God, which I am a part of, which you're a part of, marvelous are the... See, this is why David didn't take Saul out when he had opportunity to. There was a high... This is obviously why. David's realizing, you know what, God made Saul. And God placed Saul. As much as he deserves to be taken out, I won't take him out. And I tell you, these last two years have been everything of a refining process of my attitude, especially toward people that are coming to the church now that weren't coming 30, 40 years ago. We got people that are coming to the church that lives are just, let me just say it clearly, they're jacked up. They're jacked up. You know, I can deal with tattoos all over the body, but there are people that are coming with lives that have been shattered. They're coming with lives that where decisions have been made that have now reaped just chaos in life. And what was happening with me, instead of being this nice, you know, pastor who loves everyone, no, I started getting upset. Like, man, what are we, a hospital? Oh, yeah, that's what we are. Can we get some healthy people here? Can I get some people without having lives that are shattered and messed up? And my gosh. And the Lord says, stop it. Stop talking. See, you know, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let me tell you what I was killing. I was killing everything I knew I was called to be with my verbal disgust toward these last days and what's coming into the church, people who need the grace and mercy of God. And my attitude was just the opposite. Well, get cleaned up before you come here. No, Jesus cleans them up, doesn't he? He cleans them up. And it was a breaking for me, guys, and I confess it to you, it was a breaking to me. My soul knows this very well. My soul has to know very well that God has a bigger picture, even my own life, that it'll be better. Jesus said something in Matthew 23. Jesus said that, you know, do not call anyone on earth your father, for you have one father, he's in heaven. Jesus is not dealing with the title and calling people your fathers. No, he's dealing with origin. Jesus says, don't call anyone else your true origin, for you have one true origin, that's the Father in heaven. A lot of us get in trouble with because that's all I have to reference is the origin of our natural father, parents. And someone talked about that yesterday. I want to encourage you to really let God help you. Give your parents a break. You know, they did the best they could. And there's something about you and I coming to a real healthy place of realizing, you know what? My origin is from God the Father. He wanted me here. Let me tell you this, and you understand what I mean when I say it. All your parents did was had sex to get you here. That's all they did. No big fee. They enjoyed it, I'm sure. They're happy about it to oblige your coming by sex. And that's all they did. God had to bring about the life. The life, your life, your origin is from God. Does your soul know that very well? If it doesn't, you and I walk out, we walk off, we walk into a world that needs to hear secure, confident people with a message of eternal life that speak this message without batting an eye, without stepping back, without scratching where they don't itch, but people with confidence stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. We need that in the church today. We have a very wimpy church today worldwide that backs off, backs up, and gives excuses and says, I'm sorry to stuff they should be concerned to. I'm sorry you're going to hell. But you know what? Without Jesus, you're going to hell. And not apologize. And you don't have to go to hell. You can accept Christ right now. Ain't that good news? But no, we apologize. And we try to be sneaky. And we try to do it real, you know, real smart. No, we need to just preach the good news. We need to preach the good news. And I think a lot of times this is because you and I have allowed our origin to be misplaced. We don't know very well we've been made by God. I want to encourage you to move in the reality of that and know that and understand that. Let me close with this. It was Easter Sunday. And it was Easter Sunday because, you know, being at Easter Sunday is a lot. People are dressing up a little more. There was a lady. This was their first child. Baby's about 6 months years old. And this is after service. I'm communicating with her. And she's dressed up really nice. Hair is done just beautiful. Wearing a nice sundress. And, you know, this child's beautiful. She had let me know that they were going to do some family pictures after church. They were going to make it a day. Get some family pictures done. And that's when it happened, as I was talking to her. And you have to have two kids or more to realize this, is that a child will always give the signal when they're going to throw up. It's like a hiccup. Now, you got to be experienced with children to know this, because, you know, if you don't know, you just think it's a hiccup. Oh, God bless you. Excuse me. Then, yeah, we're going to get blessed. All right, here it comes. And it's just this kind of that a child does, you know, just And the child, did, and I said, oh my gosh. I was able to at least get that out. Oh my gosh. Now, I did the very, very expected, mature thing a pastor ought to do, who's been walking with the Lord some time. I ducked. And as soon as I ducked, they just, whoo! And this child threw up on this lady, and it just splashed. On her, on him, just, and I looked at her, wow. I said another mature, you know, when you're mature, you're on a roll, you know? I said another mature thing. I said, you want to kill him, don't you? Great pastor. Isn't that great? Just love to get those, you really want to kill him, don't you? The picture day is ruined. Your hair is dripping. It's starting to smell. You want to kill him, don't you? And she looked at me in a spirit of gentle but yet hard rebuke and said, no, I don't want to kill him. I want to clean him up. Help me find some stuff to clean him up. And let me tell you, that's what God is saying. God doesn't want to kill you. Because you know what? Maybe you're like me. You step in a lot of doggy do. You're not looking. Man, I should have seen that. Yes, you should have. You should have, but you didn't. And God's saying, I should kill you. No, God ain't saying that. God's saying, I love you. I want to clean you. Let me clean your feet. Let me clean your face. Because you know what? I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I'm going to play a song. Well, actually, Mark's going to play a song. And this song is called Sovereign. It was written by Chris Tomlin, but Sarah Reeves, who's singing it, she sings it so much better. No offense to the author. The point is, our lives are in his shaping hands. Just close your eyes and listen to these words.
Storm.
heads, would you? Again, I say there were two sets of hands that were at your entry into this world. And that second set is so greater, but also it's the shaping hands of your Creator. And you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for beneficial works, for the glory of God. And he planned this way before you were even born. Today, let's let our soul know it well that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time. Lord, help us to embrace the truth of your word. Help us to embrace the affirmation of your spirit. And Lord, may we always walk secure in the comfort of your love. You don't want to kill us. You just want to clean us up. Help us to know, Lord, that you're our Father, our origin. Help us to remember, Lord, that we are created in Christ Jesus, in the grace, the sole grace of God. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.